Hey guys, welcome back. Today I'm going to talk with you about the big mistake you make when you set goals or any other high standards for yourself. It goes back to that adage of you don't get what you want, you get who you are, which I've discussed before in this channel, but we'll do it on a slightly different way today. And then I'll discuss how to set goals in a healthy way. There's a four-step process for that. All right, so the big mistake that you make is when you set goals or some kind of standards for yourself, you do it as a compensation, as a way to offset whatever misery you feel at the time of creating the goal or standard. And you know, such goals are going to be way more likely to be delusional. And when they're delusional, you're going to fail. And when you fail, you will end up feeling like a victim. It's called having your head in the clouds. Or the way that I do it is called having your head up your ass. Which is like having your head in the clouds, but there's more of a smug quality to it. And the goal feels great at first, right? Because it's a great distraction from how crappy you feel, but it ends up, you're not ready for the goal, right? You're not there yet. So it ends up feeling like an imposition. And when it feels like an imposition, you feel like a victim, or you want somebody to come save you and tell you what a good person you are for having such high standards or these goals. But you dress it up in whatever language you want, you end up feeling like a victim. You want to feel like a victim. That is the goal. Unconscious goal, but the goal nonetheless. So how this works is I'm going to draw a super technical graph for you here. This is the line of life. And here's zero. And let's say you're at a 15, which is pretty good. 15 is pretty good. You're well on your way. But you feel like crap because you have unconscious issues you have yet to process. So it feels like you're at a zero. So what's the compensatory goal going to be? You will create a goal like you're somebody at 30. Problem is, though, right? There's all this experience, all this nuance and experience and just psychological resources that you acquire going from 15 to 30 that you have not acquired yet. So when you set your goal for being at 30, you're going to fail. You're going to fail and feel like a victim, feel like a loser. So that's how that works. So let's just, as an example, let's say you're overweight. I could use any example for this. Money, women, you know, friendships, dating, parents, any kind of, here it's literal weight, but it could be any kind of psychological weight that you want to deal with. And you say you feel bad because you're overweight. In truth, you know, you're overweight because you feel bad, but you don't know that yet. So you try to distract yourself from any negative feeling you have by setting some ridiculous goal of, I'm never going to eat carbohydrates again. And if I just didn't do that, then I'd get to this place where I'm going to be able to step on the scale and not want to shoot myself. Right? But you're going to fail in that goal because you're not ready for it, because you're trying to do it to distract yourself from how miserable you feel. And so you'll end up even feeling more miserable. Right? And here victimhood probably would take the form of, I have bad genes, or my parents never taught me how to eat well, so now I don't eat well. Right? Some kind of self-pity. Oh, maybe, you know, somebody will come and save me from this negative self-pity feeling. As an aside, this is just how men typically express victimhood. It's more done in a subtle way. Women, I think, are just more, not subtle, more overt with their victimhood. Men are a little bit more, it doesn't mean we experience it any less, I just think we communicate it less. And this is one way that men subtly experience victimhood, is we set high goals for ourselves so we can get to this place of feeling like a victim. Nostalgia is another way that we feel like victims, or that trope of good times create weak men, weak men create bad times, right? I'm in this bad place because my boomer parents messed everything up. If you use privilege, if you're on the left, elite, if you're on the right, the subtle signs of victimhood's in here is one more. So how do you set high standards for yourself in a healthy way? Well, the place where you need to start is you need to begin to manage your unconscious issues. Until you can do that, and you don't even have to do it. You just have to begin to do it. You don't have to begin to do it. Just become willing to begin to do it, to begin to possibly think about peeling back those layers. Like, you know, this work is really painful. That's the downside. The upside is you can be anywhere on the XY coordinate graph of psychological growth. It doesn't matter where you are. All that matters is your velocity. It's not even about velocity, maybe. I think it's more about acceleration, but that's for another video. So you got to begin to manage your issues. So where do you begin exactly? Well, you begin where Father Sosima says to begin, Brothers Karamazov. Above all else, do not lie to yourself. Page 44 in the PNV translation. Probably do a video on that at some point here in the future. So above all else, do not lie to yourself. You begin by telling yourself the truth. So how do you tell yourself the truth? You start with the facts. What is the situation? Just the facts of the situation you are in as you see them. Then your feeling. How do you feel about the facts? Then meaning. What does your feeling mean about you? And then your responsibility. Not your responsibility for the situation. We may get there. But before you can do that, begin to take responsibility for the feeling that you have. So what are the facts of the situation if we're going to carry this example? You try to lose weight, and maybe you do. You lose 30 pounds, but then you put it back on the next month. And you've done this consistently. Let's just say this is an overall pattern of yo-yo dieting. So what feeling do you have about it? Sad, like a victim, self-pity, some pathetic desire to be saved, everything that we've talked about so far. You know, by the way, that pathetic desire to be saved, that's not wrong. You are yearning for somebody to save you. That somebody is going to be yourself. Not some girl with a savior complex, hopefully, because that's going to make your life way worse in the long run. But you know, your savior is yourself, of course. Hopeless. Can we just say hopeless? I feel hopeless because of this. Okay, what does hopelessness mean to you? What does this feeling mean about you? Could mean you don't have what it takes to change. You can keep going with meaning. Keep extrapolating it out, amplifying it, going like, why? Okay, so it means I don't have what it takes to change. You ask yourself, why? And usually what happens here is you get to some memory where you felt like this before. It may not be about your weight. It may be about something else. But where have you felt this, like where you've tried to change and you simply can't and you feel hopeless? In fact, when's the first time you remember feeling this way? Talk through that. You got to know what these feelings mean to you so you can be more literate with them when they come up, so you understand what's behind it, so it's not just slapping you in the face. Okay, that helps to develop the regulation of just being able to sit with it. And then the responsibility. And how we get at responsibility is we ask ourselves how we benefit from the emotion, how we contribute to the emotion, and how we relate if there is a conflict around this emotion or situation. So how do you benefit from the emotion? Well, you know, it's your emotional payoff. You can always just enjoy the benefit that comes from being a victim. Not that you enjoy the feeling so much, but it's a familiar feeling for you. Maybe a feeling that you've gone into a lot over the past, I don't know, 20 years of your life, maybe even more. You like to tell yourself you're a good person for having these high standards. Maybe you have this fantasy of some BPD girl with a savior complex is going to come in to save you. Right? It goes back to that example I was talking about last week. You guys remember that example? You're all taking notes, right? That example I talked about last week of the guy who wants to stand out so much in the ski jump competition that he bombs the entire slope, hits the jump way too hard. Everybody's looking at it. Everybody's going, oh, crap, what's going to happen here? You overshoot the landing, land on the flat part, break both your legs, but it's okay because there's a BPD girl in the crowd who has made you a mixtape. And not only that, but she's just really excited to give it to you. Right? That's what we're talking about here. That's the benefit, is you get to put yourself in that kind of hopeless situation of you and this crazy girl against the world, right? Doesn't matter whether you do well in the ski competition. There's going to be somebody out there who's going to give you like some sick validation. for trying to compensate for your life, right? Okay, so that's one possible benefit, the contribution that you get. Like, so how do you perpetuate this feeling? Well, you perpetuate, kind of already kind of talked about, you perpetuate this feeling by blaming your parents, crappy genetics. These are a way, right? You are not to blame for your parents or your crappy genetics or the fact that your dad never taught you about food. But you can see how you're perpetuating this issue. You're making it worse. You're taking an issue that's worth a 5 and you're making it 6 and a 7. And so how do you relate with any conflict here about this situation? Well, there's some projected conflict here with your parents. So how do you relate with them? Well, you can see how every other month you're talking about how you're going to go on some ridiculous diet. And that's exactly what your mom did. And you can always, even when you were 5 or 6, you could tell your mom was just unbalanced when she did that. You're worried about your mom, but you're doing the same thing now. Maybe not to the same extent, but I just want you to relate and see how you're on the same page as these people who you're blaming or supposedly in conflict with. You are different, but you're not as different as you think. And, there's that saying, to understand all is to forgive all. I think there's a good amount of truth to that. So every time you do this, every time you process issues in this way, you communicate to yourself a little bit more of the truth, which is, as I was saying before, I did not cause this issue, but look, here's how I perpetuate it. Here's my sin. Here's my part. And you begin to see how you're running away from pain, right? Because it's not about your weight. It's about the food. It's about your relationship with food. It's about your relationship with your food and how that's a reflection of your relationship with yourself. It's not about the girl. It's about your relationship with the girl. It's not about money. It's about your relationship with money or what money represents. It's not about what your parents did or didn't do. That doesn't matter in a therapeutic context. What matters is how you relate with your parents. So that's the first thing you do is manage your issues. The next thing you do is you just track and record as much as you can. If it's what you care about, write down how much you eat, calories, macros, whatever. If you're an incel, just write down how many girls do you talk to throughout the week? How many girls have you gone on a date with? Don't track the number of girls you've had sex with. If you know that number after 15, you're probably a psychopath. Or even just the words, like how many words do you say to girls throughout the week? Girls who are of breeding age and who aren't your sister. How many words? Just write down what is happening, right? This is like kind of a subset of the big mistake, right? Attempting to live a certain way without looking at where you are, without looking at what's going on right now. And, if you can't do this consistently, like if you can't track consistently, then note the resistance that comes up and go back to step one and process it there. Right? So if you have a money issue, or let's say you have a problem spending too much money. So just track how much money you spend. If you have a problem making money, well, track how much money you make. If it's a productivity issue, track your time at half-hour intervals. Just awareness. Before you try to make yourself do anything and start any dumb goal, you can't have too much awareness. And then this third step is to, I would say, connect with people over your goal and talk about it and, form some kind of community over it, but at least don't distance yourself from anybody. I just mentioned this because I think a lot of guys, when they have a goal, is they try to isolate themselves and say, oh, look, I'm starting this new life where I'm not eating any carbohydrates. Like my friend over there, he's still smoking weed, and that's a little bit inconvenient for me. So I'm going to end that friendship and just seclude myself as I never eat carbohydrates again, which is especially impossible with food because it's a communal thing. Right? You're probably not going to stick to your food goal if it's not done in the context of a community or connecting with people over it. Because you cut off these relationships and life feels more meaningless. There's more stress. You're going backwards in life, not forwards. feels like you're going forwards because, oh, here's this friend who's smoking too much weed. I don't have to talk to him about that and talk with him about that anymore. I can just delude myself. I'm going to live this totally pure, unadulterated life without any carbohydrate. And then the next step is to actually do something, right? Now you're in a place. Now you're in a place from which you are more likely to change. Now you're in a place from which you have more awareness, and you're more likely to see reality and create a goal based in line with who you are in reality and not as some warped goal that's really based on some compensation for neurosis that you have. So you just ask yourself, you know, what's the next thing for me to do? And really, that's the most annoying question in the world, is what are you able to do? Because there's always something you can do. You especially have no excuse if you know how emotions work and you know how to talk through them like we go through here. But that's the problem with awareness, right? Is once you see it, once you have it, you can't unhave it. You can't go back, right? You can't be a butterfly and go back to being a caterpillar and just inchworm your way around a leaf anymore. It doesn't work. You can try, but you're just going to hurt yourself. So that's what... that's what I can help you with here. We do free consultations, joinanimus.com/schedule if you just want some, if you feel your victimhood coming up too much and sabotaging your life. I can help you with that. I can't completely rid your life of victimhood probably, but I can at least guarantee you're going to create a healthier relationship with it. A healthier relationship to such an extent that it doesn't even matter that you still have it. It just becomes like this funny thing. You started off your relationship with your neighbor. It was a fight. It became this quarrel. And now it's just like a funny argument that you guys have going back and forth. That's the basis of your friendship. So yeah, I do free consultations. joinanimus.com/schedule. Please sign up there. What you tell me about your life. Well, what happens there is you tell me about what's going on in your life. Some things in the present, some things in the past, and I'll tell you what the root of your problem is. You think it's procrastination, you know, poor use, victimhood, rage, being overweight. That's not the problem, right? That's the symptom. You think it's some negative belief you have about yourself. Sorry, Mr. Life Coach. That's not a problem. That's a symptom. The problem is always going to be how you habitually mismanage emotions that puts you in this place psychologically from which you're more likely to procrastinate or eat too much, right? So I'll tell you about how you habitually, that is unconsciously, mismanage emotions. And of course it's unconscious, because if it was conscious, then you would simply notice it and change it. You would do something about it, but it's unconscious, so you don't. I guess kind of what I do is like a psychological cold read, but it's not like some esoterica thing like that. It's, I simply know what to look for. You know, if you have any questions about my feedback or my thought process, I'm happy to talk with you about that. So joinanimus.com/schedule. Thank you guys for watching. Please send this video to somebody who you think may need it. And remember, you don't get what you want. You get who you are.